What a good man of God. And Ms. Nancy, a wonderful lady, loves the Lord. And do yourself a favor. Next time we have a meal where we bring in food, find what Ms. Nancy brought. But I'm going to tell you, she makes these little coconut things that are really not good. So if you don't mind, if you would go by and pick up one, but I don't want you to eat it because it'll make you sick, bring it to my table. Because most of the time, if Regina doesn't get us one, we don't get one. I take that back. Ms. Nancy has started. She blesses us with a little extra sometime, brings it to us. But anything that she does is wonderful. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Timothy. I was thinking, I want to remind you once again of the Bible Institute. Brother Gary shared an announcement. God has blessed this ministry. It's been going on since in the old building. We've had wonderful people, men, to lead the Bible Institute. Brother Linwood Johnson was the one previous to Brother Gary coming. And Brother Gary Mayberry and his wife Cindy came to us from up in Michigan. They've been with us a long time. He attended the Midwest Bible College, Dr. Tom Malone. Then he became a professor there. Then he became dean of men there. And highly qualified and blessed. And when God sent them here, it wasn't long that Brother Linwood was called into the ministry and had left to go pastor. And then I asked Brother Gary about praying about it. And so he has done a phenomenal job. And you can get in. It's a 3-year program, and it goes in 2 different semesters, but you can plug in anywhere. It's survey of the Old Testament, survey of the New Testament, and Bible doctrine, and you can start. You don't have to wait and begin in the beginning. You can go in this next semester. We'll finish up sometime in May, I think, and we begin getting back sometime in late August. Brother Gary can tell you exact time. It's a very minimal charge, basically just to cover the cost of your materials and to share just a little bit with our professors. But we've had people, we've got now 3 or 4 guys that are pastoring and in ministry other places. And we have, on most occasions, at least a portion of your credits would probably transfer to another type of Bible college or whatever. And but it's a wonderful thing. And if a dear brother who wanted to learn more about the Word of God, a retired lawyer, if he felt the need and how God's blessed and used him and opened him a door now ministry, then I think it'd be good for all of you. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher or either be a preacher, but it's a blessing to you if you'll do that. And I promised you I'd get you out on time, and I am. But I want to read these passages of Scripture. I made reference to these around Easter. But I want to look at what Paul says, and I will start reading a little lower than I was going to read the whole chapter. But I want you to just pick up, if you will, in verse number 11. In verse number 11, he said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. This is the Apostle Paul. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. In regard to Brother Luis, he sought God's will. God used him after he got saved. God opened a door of opportunity through his business to be able to witness to people in every level of society and become an effective witness. But then when he came here 6 years ago, praying, and God led him. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And I'm sure glad God led his steps here and led his steps to go through the Bible Institute. And now he's been ministering in the local hospitals and as God leads and directs, reaching out even further. But God has blessed him and committed to him and to me and you that ministry of sharing the Word of God. Notice in verse number 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What God wants out of me and you is not our ability. And I do believe that God has fashioned Brother Luis and Miss Nancy all these years, used them in other places and other ministries, but for what he's doing right now. But the qualification is not this or that or the other. Number one is the call of God, and then is your commitment or your faithfulness to him. God counted me faithful, and he enabled me. You see, God doesn't need your ability. He just needs your availability. Present yourself to serve. God will show you what to do. God will equip you what you're supposed to do. And in your life, housewives, teenagers, everybody, God will do that. And you know what we could do without him? Absolutely nothing. God, if God doesn't help us and God doesn't enable us, I don't care what kind of educational background we have, what kind of gifts we have, what kind of skills we may have, it's ineffective without the enabling power of the Holy Ghost of God. God will qualify you. God will show you what you need, give you what you need. And so he says, God did that and he put me in the ministry. And God does that. He places us. We're placed in the body. The Bible said we're fitly framed together. And it means that we are intertwined, kind of like a puzzle. The pieces fit. You look at all these puzzles and you put them together. Well, what God does to build a church, or church family, is he fits us in. There's a place that you fit. And God will enable you and he will place you where he wants you. He will put you where he wants you to be. And it'll be just right. And he'll use you. He'll enable you to do what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. But then go on and look at verse number 13. He said, he put me in the ministry who was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. See, Paul is stating that the great sin is not alcoholism or whatever. The greatest sin in all the world is the sin of unbelief. The Bible said, he that believeth not is condemned already. You say, well, Brother Billy, I've done this, that, and the other. No, he died for all of your sins, even the sin of unbelief. But you need to respond and believe, and he'll do something. Listen to the testimony of Paul. He said, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. But he said, I obtained mercy. Now, who gets mercy? Guilty people. He is unquestionably guilty. And then he goes on, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He who had persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ, he who had persecuted the church of the living God, I believe personally that he had people killed and was involved in the death of many people. The Bible clearly states that he was a witness and had stood during the time of Stephen's stoning and when Stephen was killed, and he was there in an official capacity. He was condoning that death of Stephen, and he was saying to the general public, he's worthy of death simply because he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And when Paul was saved, he was on the way to Damascus to arrest anybody, man or woman, anybody who believed on Jesus. His intent was to arrest them and have them put in prison, and many of them would be executed. And then he goes on to say this. He said, but I obtained grace, and it was exceedingly abundant. What does that mean? It was more than adequate to save and forgive all of my sin. God didn't have a hard time saving Paul. God didn't have a hard time forgiving him every one of his sin. And you say, well, brother, I'm a hard case. No, there's no hard cases. He's able to save you just as much as he could save a 6 or 7 or 8 or 10-year-old child. I don't care what kind of history you got, what kind of sin you've got in your life. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he can save to the uttermost all that call upon him. And he goes on and says this, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul's attitude about himself was that of one of humility. He didn't say, I used to be chief of sinners. He said, I am now. I am now. I'm not worthy. Last night when Brother Luis and I talked, now he made it sound like I just asked him last night, but I did say something to him a day or two before. I just called last night and told him I wanted him to take a little more time. And then I told him he'd go at the end, and then this morning I told him he'd go first. So. But here's what I'm saying to you is this. When we finished talking, me knowing the background of Brother Luis, of how God used him in Puerto Rico, the hundreds that he probably witnessed to, many came to know Christ, how he has very humbly yielded himself to serve the Lord and served as a chaplain in our local hospital. He said, "Brother Billy, this is an honor of which I'm not worthy." And I said that. Many of our deacons said, I would be willing to serve, but I don't think I'm worthy. I said, that's the only kind we want. That's the only kind of people we want. That is people who don't believe they're worthy, and we are not. We are saved sinners by grace, and if He doesn't enable us, He doesn't help us. And if it's any good thing in any of us, it's Christ. And then he goes on to say this, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ might show forth long suffering for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever." Now, I'm not going to preach because we want to ordain Brother Luis right now in just a few moments. But Paul said, "I am a pattern. I'm a pattern." Daddy had a truck farm, and then he sold crickets and catawba worms and all those type of things. I went to work in the cotton mill when I was a senior in high school, and worked my senior year in high school working in a cotton mill. Never did much building, but then when I was in the ministry, got involved when we were in Florida with building FHA houses. And I enjoyed that, and I enjoy building, enjoy working, doing things like that. But when we got on the job site, I watched these guys, and they'd cut a rafter or they'd cut something else, and they'd measure, get it exactly perfect, and then they'd write three letters on it, P-A-T, period, P-A-T, period. And I asked them, I said, "What's a pat? What's a pat?" And he said, "It's our pattern." And he said, "We mark every board by this pattern." Now, I learned a lesson. I cut a board one time, and I laid it on another board, and I cut it, and then I laid that first board aside. I took the second board, and I laid it on another one, and I cut it, and I took that and I laid aside and laid that one I just cut on there. And when I got down to the last one that I'd cut, it turned out to be a half inch shorter because I was measuring it by the one previous to it and not by the pattern. You had to mark every one of them by the pattern. That way they'd all be the same. That's why they did that. And Paul said, "My life and my conversion is a pattern. I don't have time to deal with it. If you'll come back tonight, I'll deal with it about it. But I will just say this." He said, here's the sum of it. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Jesus, as Mitchell says, is all about saving sinners. If you're not a sinner, if you're not lost and on your way to hell, you don't have anything for you. But if you're so wicked and so lost that you don't think there's any hope, there's hope. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." And he said, "He is no respecter of person. He'll save all that call upon Him." I want you to bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed. Just before we have Brother Luis and Ms. Nancy to come, I want to ask you a question. If you were to die right now, do you know you go to heaven? Paul said, "I'm a pattern. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious." And he said, "Yet mercy found me, grace saved me, and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ keeps me." And my dear friend, you can know that today by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, "Of all the things I did, my worst sin was unbelief." But now he believed. He believed. God's able to save you this morning. He's a pattern of the long suffering. Did you know that when he was yet killing Christians, when he was doing all that he was doing, God loved him? You say, "To be sure not."
when he stood giving testimony at the death of Stephen, you know Jesus didn't love him. Yes, he did. When he was taking men and women and putting them in prison and separating them from their children and having their properties confiscated and having many of them put to death, you try to tell me Jesus loved him then? Oh, yeah. When he was blaspheming the name of Jesus, no telling what he called Jesus that's not written in the Bible. He's blaspheming Jesus. When he was doing all the persecuting and all the other things he did, he said he did that because of his long suffering. God had a plan. God knew what he was going to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, God spared you to this very hour. He's been long suffering. At any moment, he could have released you and you'd have plunged into hell, be there for all eternity, but he's not done it yet. That's because he still has something far better for you. And he'll save you today in the media audits and in this building. But you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you call on him right now? Dear Lord Jesus, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now would speak to hearts, deal with men and women, boys and girls. Our Father, this is your work. When the Apostle Paul got saved, it was your work. When I got saved, it was your work. When these deacon candidates who stood, when they got saved, it was your work. When Brother Luis and Ms. Nancy got saved there in Puerto Rico, that was your work. You use human instruments to witness to them, to share the Word of God. But God, you sent the witness. You made effective the testimony. You convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You, as Noah said, as Jonah said, you are the God of salvation. You're the one who does the saving. And God, I pray you'd save people in this building and in the media audience. And God, if you do that, we'll know it. And God, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.